You know, we are connected. We serve in a tradition or a church that we call a connectional church. And what all that means is if you're part of one Methodist church, you're part of all of them because we're all connected and we help one another. Now, that doesn't always say that's 100% of the time, but for the most part, when we need something and we're connected to another Methodist church or connected to the conference, we can get some help. And we are beloved and we are connected. There's a gentleman, and I don't know too much about him. His name is Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I know that he's a astrophysicist. Now, he is very smart, and I found something that he said that made sense. He said, we are all connected to each other biologically, to the Earth chemically, and to the rest of the universe atomically. Boils down to this, we're connected with the Lord God. Hallelujah. Now, last week we saw Jesus letting us know what it means to be holy or different, as opposed to being just common. And you think about our perception of physical and biological differences. And this week in the lectionary, we see him once again affirming the strength of what binds us together as common people, as a common creation. Jesus spends a lot of time in the passages that we read that we make sure that we understand all the people that are beloved by God, even those designated by Jewish faithful as Gentiles. Now, we're not Jews, so all of us are Gentiles that aren't raised in the Jewish tradition. And all Jews mean, there's a lot of Jews in Israel, but not all the people in Israel are Jews, because Jews really come from the tribe of Judah. But we're all one in God. That's the most important thing. Now, Jesus had spent a great deal of time explaining to his disciples and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, that what makes somebody common has nothing to do with their heritage or their rule that they might be following, with the state of heart and one's desire for and having faith in God, that which issues a loving and kind and merciful and compassionate spirit. So after this conversation with his own disciples, they still find it difficult to understand. And he deliberately led them purposely into Gentile territory. Let's go over to where the Gentiles are, guys, where he will demonstrate a number of teachable moments. Jesus is always in a teachable moment, by the way. And that'll challenge not only his contemporaries, but us today, some 2,000 years later. And it's impossible, therefore, to slice and dice these passages of Scripture and look at them individually. This has typically resulted in used misinterpretations. And we need to read these stories whole in context. And as Jesus' actions unfolded, so when we do and keep everything in context, the beauty of his expertise as master teacher emerges. Now, discipleship was not meant to merely be a series of lectures or book studies, and Jesus certainly is a great teacher, but discipleship in Jesus' time meant observing, engaging with the Master as he interacted with others and demonstrated and acted out the precepts and character building and faith-forming thesis that he wanted his disciples to understand. Now, Jesus wasn't interested in merely imparting knowledge. No, he was interested in changing his people's entire worldview. And this requires a kind of holistic understanding that needed to be experienced. So let us follow Jesus as he takes his journey to demonstrate the real life lessons behind his lecture on what it means to be defiled or common from the Phoenician point of view, or the Decapolis, which simply means 10 cities. It's an important series of teaching events that illuminates Jesus' Gentile mission. It's a gentle Gentile mission. He is reaching out to all with a very gentle spirit. A mission to prove that we are all God's beloved. So even today in 2024, I think one of the most difficult challenges for us as human beings lies in being able to see those outside of our group or familiar people as family. The irony, of course, reveals itself is that we are all in some way related. One of humankind's greatest myths is that we must be defined by our differences. And despite knowing that any two human beings are 99.9% identical, think about it, not only are we interconnected as human beings, but with all creatures that God had created in this wonderful place we call Earth. Living people, living everything that inhabit this planet. So, did you know, in fact, that you share 84% of your DNA with your dog? Now, I like Toby, and I didn't know that. But after being around him for a while, I can understand. Because he don't talk, but boy, you can sure have a relationship with him. Not only that, humans and dogs share a remarkable amount of habits, preferences, lifestyle, and even health trends. And not just dogs. We share habits and DNA to some extent with all creatures in our planet. Despite our differences, which we tend to define ourselves the most, we're remarkably similar. Jesus wants us to know that while God wants us to celebrate our uniqueness, and we are unique, there's only one like us, God always wants us to recognize our commonness. Even in the book of Isaiah, where they describe the coming Messiah, they said that he was common. And he was. That's why he blended in with the masses. It was God incarnate. Nah, I digress. So our mutual bonds, our sisterhood or brotherhood to all of creation, that we need to recognize that we're part of something much bigger than ourselves, part of a unique ecosystem, a created world in which we play one part. Our entire world view then changes. You know, we spent some time with Freddie Davis some time ago about biblical worldview and worldviews. And our scripture today, as transcended by both Mark and Matthew, Jesus once again has trouble getting his point across to the disciples, whose mindset is firmly nestled into Jewish tradition and bias. In order for them to see and hear differently, he needs to show them exactly what he means. And to do this, he takes them out into an area which was not Jewish territory, in a region called Tyre and Sidon. There, his disciples react as he expected them to do. He knows our heart. He knows our minds. He knows everything about us even before we know it. With the typical Jewish bias against the Canaanite. Now, the Phoenician woman, who they see as just a brother or a sister, they would rather say they're just a wild dog from the streets. They're not Jewish, you know. Well, in Matthew's gospel, they ask Jesus to send her away from them, lest they be defiled. You know, you can't be around them bad people. You get defiled. So this sets the stage for Jesus' teachable moment. Now, if you can have people act this out, you can see expressions. And if you are able to be around people and you see people, how they act in different things, I think you understand. And as Jesus turns the table on their assumptions, Canaan is the old age pagan region that became part of the Promised Land. Isn't that interesting? So the Canaanites and later the Greeks worshipped other gods. They engaged in what we call a polytheistic religion. They practice foreign traditions. They practice different rites and rituals, and their beliefs don't align with the Jewish faith. So when a Greek woman comes to Jesus and begs him to heal her daughter, Jesus first tests her faith in him. And at the same time, he's also testing the bias of his own disciples by saying exactly what they expect him to say. Not quite. Jesus said, hey, the children have to be fed. It isn't right to take the children's bread and toss it to their pets. The woman replied, yeah, Lord, but even the puppies under the master table eat of the children's crumbs. Jesus replied, good answer, girl. In Mark's gospel and in Matthew, he commends her for her great faith, a comment that he never gives his own disciples. And at that, he heals her daughter. Now, a number of things that just happened in a twinkling of an eye. Instead of treating her like a street dog, as his disciples saw and expected him to do, he instead slyly calls her a pet. The word is really translated puppy. Puppy, one that keeps like a house pet. So the bread, or God's word, and Jesus' gift of his own body, which has been calling himself in our scripture, we've been looking at that for a long time, that he's the bread of life, it is to be fed the entire family, not only those of the Jewish family who already know who God is, but even those who don't understand God but still are beloved part of the family. And she recognizes what he's saying. And she understands that she is beloved by God, no matter what her heritage or background, even her language, her gender, or even her faith. She, more than Jesus' own disciples, understand the grace and the love of God. And she recognizes the attributes of Yahweh and recognizes them in Jesus. She sees him more than his own contemporary does. Wow, think about that. Sometimes we as Christians, followers of Christ, sometimes other people see God more than we do. And then we kind of just like, don't get it sometimes. I want us to notice something here. Jesus does not demand that she repent, that she become Jewish. Well, I'll do this for you, but you got to repent and become Jewish, girl. That she turn away from her pagan religion and that she change anything about herself. No, he simply commends her faith and heals her daughter. How that must have smarted to the disciples. Imagine their look of shock as he commends the faith of a pagan woman, considered by them to be a defiled Gentile dog. That he commends. Well, the word puppy or pet is a clue. How do you feel about your pets? Sure, I think you may look at your dog, maybe like you do, and say, well, I don't know, you may not behave like your dog, or consider your dog the same in your human family, although Toby's part of the family. But boy, do we love our dogs. They're our beloved pets, furry members of our family. We adore them. They're loyal to us. They love us. We hug them. We feed them. We share our lives and beds with them, although Judy won't let Toby in our bed. But he's got his own bed. They are vital and important part of our family. Our family tree contains us and also our pets. Now, while Jesus' interaction sounds strange and harsh to us today, what he was doing was creating a metaphor for his disciples to understand. This woman is not a defiled street dog. No, she's an honored, cherished, beloved part of their family, God's family. And as such, she deserves to be healed, accepted, loved, honored like everybody else. Now, after this encounter, Jesus would go on to the Decapolis, 10 Greek cities, which was in solid Gentile country. There he would not only heal a man that was deaf and dumb, but he would duplicate his feeding of the Jewish people by feeding 4,000 plus Gentiles with 7 baskets remaining, driving home to his disciples that all people are God's beloved, and he will heal, love, bless, feed every one of them that he can. So in our world today, we can be so easily tempted to demean, demonize, separate others according to our own biases and their perceived differences. But our eyes can easily deceive us. Amen. For we have more in common than we think. So in order to put our judging eyes at bay, we need to instead open our ears to the Word of God, the bread of life, beloved Son of God, for he has come not to condemn the world, but to save it. And that goes for everybody. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in. Pray you were blessed by today's message. And hope and pray you come see us in church in person sometime soon. God loves you, and so do we.